Hello, everybody. It's Friday, December 31st. Hey, can you believe it's almost 2005? Happy New Year's, everybody. This is Todd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast from historic Ford Island, located in Honolulu, Hawaii. And some of you naysayers out there that always complain to me about Hawaii's weather being terrible. I just wanted to let you know that we're going to have rain for New Year's. They're saying that it's not only going to rain, it's going to be torrential rain, and we're going to have a pretty good storm to go along with it. My next-door neighbor was who has only been in Hawaii about 6 months, and she really hasn't been here that long. She's saying, make sure you put all your stuff away. We're going to have a really bad storm. And I kind of looked at her, and I said, lady, you know, unless it's a typhoon or hurricane, I said, you know, basically they're the same thing. But I said, I don't think you have too much to worry about. You know, it'll rain and it may gust a little bit, but, you know, I don't think you have to worry about having a big, big storm. But anyway, she was putting all her stuff away and getting all excited. So, and, you know, she was giving me that inquisitive look like, shouldn't you be putting your stuff away? And I was just like, you know, almost showing her the hand, you know, so, okay, go ahead. You'll learn, new guy. But on a happier note, my cousin checked in Thailand, and it turns out when her and her entourage of girlfriends arrived on the 22nd, they, in all their wisdom, which was probably lucky for our sake, they decided, unbeknownst to us, that they were going to take a little side trip over to Cambodia. Now, I don't know why they picked Cambodia as a side trip. It's just as easy to go to Vietnam or some of the other countries right there in the general area. But they picked Cambodia, and off they went. And her excuse was, when she called her mother, that she didn't have any, basically she couldn't call. There was no way to call. But all the ends well, you know, she's safe. But the tragedy over there continues, as we all know, and for the countless other thousands upon thousands of people that are not as lucky as our family, I feel we've been spared on this one. But boy, hearts go out to all those that are that have lost loved ones. But anyway, the wife has been helping out the aunties and uncles. One of the aunties, or actually one of the uncles, owns a produce business in Chinatown. And, of course, this time of year in Hawaii, New Year's is a big celebration, and everyone goes out and buys fresh vegetables and sets up their, you know, basically the stuff they set up for New Year's here, based upon what religion they are. And so she's been helping out over there, so she's pretty wiped out tonight, and I was with the kid getting him down, which he did not want to go to sleep tonight, to about 10, and so I'm getting started this atypically late as usual, but I got a pretty good lineup for you tonight, and I wanted to, I know that we touched on it yesterday, and I only want to talk real quickly about it, but I've gotten a little bit of feedback from some of the people that sent out or sent an email on the Tech Podcast announcement yesterday. But for those that are listening, just, you know, the idea is that it's all of you are going to be in this together. It's not my intention to form a company that I own. It's going to be a group type deal, okay? A few of the guys caught on real quick. A couple others were questioning it. And I understand some of the podcasters that have small shows that aren't followed are reluctant in joining in with us because of the statement that I made that there is going to be a membership. Now, a membership fee, again, that's up to the group to decide what, if, or not that is going to be. So let's continue forward. I know a bunch of you signed up for the mailing list. And those that you haven't and you're hearing this for the first time, go over to techpodcast.com, and there's a link there to an email address for the for the mailing list. Now, that website is just a generic, real easy. I put it together in 2 minutes, and it's not supposed to represent anything. And the reason it's not representing anything right now is because we have to decide as a group what we're going to do. Now, I do have a couple of people that have indicated they want to help out with the website and donate some time to putting the design together, and we appreciate that. And on a happy note, we finally got our 20th caller into the voicemail line. And Christopher, you are the winner, brother. You're getting the $20. And here is the winning. Let's see if I can bring this up. Here is the winning call that came in. And hopefully I've got this cued right. Let's go and see what it says.
Hey, Todd, Christopher Robsky calling. Say, I listened to your podcast this morning, and it sounded like you hadn't gotten 20 comments yet in your voicemail box. I'm thinking by now you probably have at least your 20, but I figured I'd call in anyway and make another comment. Love the show. Really enjoyed the kids singing the Hawaiian Christmas song. Appreciated it. That was very enjoyable. Looking forward to the exciting things coming up with this this thing for tech podcasters that you're talking about. I've been meaning to send you an email, and we'll get one over to you shortly. My podcast with the Human Experience is pretty much focused on human interest stories, but I do touch on tech. It'll be up to your discretion if I qualify as a tech podcaster. So anyway, hope you can check out my premier podcast. It's at thehumanexperience.typepad.com, and you can email.
Okay, I didn't want to display his email address out there, but hey, we'll be sending you an email, and hopefully you've got a PayPal account. We can just PayPal you the cash, and thanks for calling the voicemail line. So, see, folks, it wasn't that difficult. All you had to do was call in. Now, of all the emails I've been getting the last couple of days, I got an email from a gentleman, and he runs a website called The Point. And he provided me a live link over to his site that basically introduces himself with a video blog or a video post that is just, it's absolutely, it's a terrific production. And he did a real good job putting it together. And he's the in the category of for having podcasting equipment that makes me podcast envy. We've went through a lot of challenges here on our audio, and we still have some challenges in that I've got some background noise that we have just not been able to get rid of. And part of it is because of our setup, and the laptop sitting here and the fans running, and that's part of it. So hopefully, and I'm running on a PC, hopefully some of you out there are using some audio tools that will help us out. We're looking for some filters to use to be able to filter out that noise and improve the quality. Now, I did work on it today a little bit, and I think we've made some improvement in the quality. But give me some feedback. Tell us what our audio levels are. I know there was a couple of complaints yesterday when I did my quickie. We didn't shut any of the computers down, and it was really apparent the computer noise that was in the background. And but today all the other servers are shut down and just the laptop is running. So hopefully the sound is a lot better today than it was yesterday. But I'm going to put a link up to The Point and his introduction and also his podcast. And wow, the audio on that is terrific. But I was looking down through his equipment list, and be honest with you, I think I need to hit the lotto to afford some of the cool tools that they that he has, and along with some of these other guys. Some of these other guys are getting into getting serious about this and putting together heavy-duty studios. But I want to be really upfront with everyone here, especially those of you that are doing podcasts. The first month worth of podcasts that I did on this site was done with a Labtech 795 microphone, a PC, and that's it. And You know, it can be done on the cheap, folks. Doesn't need to be expensive. You know, I'm using a mixer now, which we've almost quit using because I'm queuing everything up on the computer. But the mixer's used. I'm using it basically for the phone interviews and for special type things I want to put in. But you know, it's basically powering my condenser microphone. But if any of you got some software out there that you've used that you want to suggest to us to use to help filter our noise, let us know. Now, I'm using Adobe Audition as my recording software. I have not had, I used Audacity. I played around with it quite a little bit. Had good luck making recordings, but the filters on it were even, I don't consider the filters were as good as what's in Adobe Audition. Now, Steve, I know Steve, you've sent me a couple of files with some filtering done in it. And I guess I'm going to have to get you on the phone, or we're going to have to talk, you're going to have to walk me through it, because I'll be honest with you, I just couldn't reproduce the what you had basically sent to us. So we want to improve the quality here, so we'll be getting with you. But enough of that. I'm sorry, we're at 12 minutes, and I need to get into the news. Hey, there was a whole bunch of articles up, and you know, it's a lot of end-of-the-year stuff. And there's a lot of reflection going on. But there is an interesting article that talks about corporate blogging. A lot of the people that listen to this podcast, from the emails I get, are in corporations. And they're considering, and a lot of companies are considering putting up a web blog. And, you know, there's a lot of things that corporations face, especially if they're a public company. There's SEC issues to go along with a blogging. You know, basically, if you allow your employees just to put up anything on the internal company network, you know, there would be for some concern there. There could be some legal issues. But there's a list of actually that a gentleman has came up with of challenges to blogging for business. And I think it's a real good insight. I mean, it's an individual that was hired and to do basically set up a weblog for a company, a corporate weblog, and I think you'll say yeah, that's a pretty good perspective. So put the link up and you can check it out. Now, y'all know that the MPAA went after the BitTorrent sites, the tracker sites, but it looks like LokiTorrent is going to fight, and it's nice to see someone's going to stand up to them. They made an announcement on their website, and they're looking for cash to fight the MPAA, and they have garnished so far around $18,000, or about 60% of the total needed for a month's worth of legal fees. So if you are missing your tracker sites and you want to support LokiTorrent, go up there and give them some money. Now, if you've got some money, make sure you... you give some of that to the tsunami people, you know, the victims down in Southeast Asia. I think, you know, let's be honest, that I think they need our help more than, I shouldn't say that. You put your money where you want to, but put that into consideration if you're going to go out and donate some money. Now, eBay today announced that they are going to drop Microsoft's Net Passport. They're going to flush it, and it's not going to be used on their site anymore starting in January. So I thought that was pretty huge. And I don't know. I've never been a big fan of Microsoft Net's Passport. It's really never done me any good besides allowing me to log on to the few sites that require it. And, you know, it's just all I had to do is provide a bunch of information to Microsoft. I guess I don't understand it. So, eBay's dropping them. They're out of there. They're not going to use it no more. So I'd be curious to see what they put in place once they do remove the Net Passport requirements. Now, VeriSign has published a report saying that online shopping was up 24% this year. Now, I see some conflicting reports out there that talk about some online retailers did not do as well. But according to VeriSign, they're saying that online shopping was up, and took in about $8.8 billion between Thanksgiving and November 25th. Now, Microsoft, they're not real happy. Apparently, one of their high-risk Windows vulnerability was that they knew about or were informed about. The group announced it. And so it looks like some people that are finding risk or a group that found risk was not happy with the progress that Microsoft was making and announced it on a public website. So Microsoft, you know, you guys are just going to have to get busy and go after these problems a lot quicker than what you are and throw some more resources at it. And I can understand groups' frustrations. And that'll go into something we're going to talk about a little later. Now, we all know if you're the rich and famous like Adam Curry, you might be able to afford, of course, he doesn't say that he owns an airplane. Sounds like he rents one, or a helicopter maybe. But, you know, for those that are the rich and famous, you guys can go ahead and put a voice IP, and you know, so that it's coming to the point where you're going to be able to put voice IP services in your jet. There's some developments going on with a voice IP solution provider, Cerillium Holdings, and they're working with Honeywell to develop a specialized version of airborne voice IP. So that's pretty cool. I just wonder what kind of medium they're going to use and what kind of bandwidth they're going to have. You know, comes voice IP, comes TCP/IP capability, comes some sort of bandwidth. So I'm looking forward to seeing more information on that. Now, going along with some of those threats that are out there, a Trojan horse has threatened the latest Windows XP division. This is from CNET. And apparently that this vulnerability that was found in October, and I'm thinking it was the same one that this group announced, but basically there's a Trojan out there that's already exploiting that vulnerability. Of course, there's no patch for this. So a couple of the security companies have put this as a, you know, a high concern, and it's a linked partially, I believe, to Internet Explorer. So those of you that are still using Internet Explorer, it's another excuse to go back and download Firefox. Now, Wired has an article that is the read of the day, or the read of the week, and it's titled The Shadow Internet, and I think this is real cool. I had, back in the day, I had played around a little bit and went on IRC servers and had looked around a lot and seen what was going on with the Juarez scene, just, you know, just as more of an educational thing than anything else, and you know, it talks about, I was amazed at how, even on news groups today, how zero day being brand new software, brand new movies, brand new songs are making it on the internet and getting it distributed so quick. You know, it's just like it's, you know, these retailers today and these companies, they don't stand a chance because their DVDs are getting lifted by, you know, either at the printing companies or at the kid, the Blockbuster, and he's putting it on, you know, basically through a connection. They're getting it on these high-level trading services. But it kind of talks about the process and what's going on in the Juarez world and some of these top sites. And I'm just going to read you a paragraph here. And I don't even know if I'm going to pronounce it correctly, but Anathema is a so-called top site, one of 30 or so underground, highly secretive servers where nearly all of the unlicensed music, movies, and video games available on the internet originate. Outside of a pirate elite and the feds who track them, few know that top sites exist. Even fewer can log in. So, great article, and I'm sure that the top site operators are not going to be real happy about this, but he even talks about a guy that is providing feedback to a company that has hired him to tell them when they're seeing their stuff online. And he's got access to this. You know, he's got multiple screens. and they talk about people buying video cameras to be, you know, high quality video cameras to, you know, copy movies in movie theaters. It just goes on and on and on. But check that out. Great article, and one that will make my permalink. Now, if this story doesn't piss you off, nothing is going to piss you off today. It appears that your PC is at risk. Now, if you're out there using peer-to-peer networks and you're downloading music, movies, etc., or even out on the internet and you catch a link to a movie clip or a song that you maybe shouldn't have on your PC that you're getting without buying or burning from your CD that you have bought, what is happening apparently is that PC World has learned that some Windows media files on peer-to-peer networks such as Kazaa contain code that can spawn a string of pop-up ads and install adware. Well, it turns out that the company that's putting those in, they determined, they use a packet analysis tool, they determined that the media files loaded a page served by a company called Overpeer, owned by Loudi. And basically, Overpeer made news in 2002 by offering up fake audio files, etc., to the RIAA. So, I think you better be careful and make sure that you've got your spyware software up if you're out there downloading stuff on P2P. And obviously, they're making a something is going on there in the loophole in Windows Media's DRM process. So be careful, you know, especially if you're using Windows Media Player. And I don't know how far this is going to go. I don't know if it's going to affect other audio players or not. But big news, dirty news. You know, I can't believe these chuckleheads are doing this. It doesn't surprise me, I guess. But wow. Isn't that something? Okay, now, Technorati is tracking people's New Year's resolutions. So, if you've got a New Year's resolution, you put it up on your weblog, guess what they're going to be doing? They're going to be spidering that, and they're going to add it to their New Year's resolution list. So, I don't know what your New Year resolutions are. I know what mine is, and it's all based upon my health. As many as you know, I got hurt very badly in June. And by the grace of God, was not paralyzed. And for all intents and purposes, I should have been, based upon the injury that I received. And the result of that injury, I'm approximately an inch shorter and have some steel on my back. And have a vertebrae, my L1 vertebrae was destroyed. And I just had my CAT scan on Tuesday, so hopefully the doc is going to come back and give me a full bill of health, but so that I can start PTing a little heavy. But it's one of those type of injuries where I will probably have a certain amount of pain the rest of my life, and luckily at this point, I don't need any meds to, to basically alleviate that pain. I'd use stretching and getting enough sleep. Eating right, but the key for this New Year's for me is going to be, like millions of other Americans, lose some weight, get out there and exercise. And because I haven't been able to exercise since June, man, I've put on some pounds. I probably put on 15 pounds. So I want to get down about that golden weight that I was at before, about 180, and I'll be happy about it. So what are your New Year's resolutions? Let us know. Now, what else do I have? Oh, here we go. The new shuttle external tank is ready, and they're going to be loading it up on a barge, and they're going to be sending it over to Cape Canaveral for the new, it's got some improvements, safety improvements, so that there won't be any foam, hopefully, striking the shuttle. And there's a little article about that on spacetoday.net. Now, you know, we all like to eat, right? So NASA's came out and announced why there was a food shortage on the International Space Station. Apparently, the crew that was there before, they like to eat. And they didn't eat very much candy and stuff. So when the food shortage came up here this last month, basically they told the crew to cut back on regular entrees and instead eat a lot of the junk food that was in abundance there. So it's pretty funny to see that that was a cause, was the previous crew ate too much. Now, NASA had gave them permission to dip into that stock, but apparently they didn't know, actually didn't do an inventory of how much they actually did eat. Now, what does it take to what does a progress ship bring to, supply ship bring to the ISS? So there's a listing today on, let's see, where's this at? This is on spaceref.com that talks about what was loaded into the Progress 16 cargo ship. And it basically included 11 school student experiments. It included, let's see, let me go through this list. I think you guys will get a laugh out of this. Maybe not a laugh, but 1,235 pounds of propellant, 926 pounds of water, 110 pounds of air, plus other hardware and scientific equipment. The vehicle also brought 69 food containers, enough to feed two people for about 112 days. So that gives you an idea of what little that supply ship can bring. And you look at how much fuel they had to bring, 1,235 pounds. And that propellant is basically used to transfer it into the main propellant tanks on the ISS so that they can, as needed, lift the altitude of the space station. So I don't know if the Progress uses that or what, but maybe someone in the know can tell us. Okay, now, a couple of people have defrauded Walmart of $1.5 million over the last decade, and they were pretty slick. They were recoding the UPC barcodes and slipping those over the product and then either reselling them or whatever. So they were totally scamming, and they got caught on this price switching scheme. So I'm surprised this hasn't happened before, and I just wonder if it isn't bigger than what they're admitting here. Because if two people are doing it, you know, how many other people are doing it? That was the question I had. But you know, these retailers are getting smart. You know, I've bought a couple of items recently that had serial numbers on them. And not only are they scanning the barcode, but they're also scanning the serial number that you of the unit that you purchased. So I guess that's kind of cool that they're protecting themselves on, you know, returns, on people returning a like item with a different serial number and maybe trying to scam on a repair. But they're getting smarter. They're tracking it better. Now, on in a kind of a disturbing news, the FBI is investigating laser beams pointed at aircraft. And I heard this on the radio this morning, but I found an article on Slashdot. You know, I guess what concerns me is the report that I read was the aircraft was lased from a distance of 8 miles. Now, any of you that know anything about lasers knows that this is just no little, you know, kid's toy. This is some serious laser with some serious power. And, you know, to aim at the aircraft and be able to actually, so that the cockpit actually could see it, that's amazing. And the FBI is after them. So, if any of you are, you know, it's stupid. You know, people can get, depending on what kind of laser it is, if it gets, you know, if it goes in the eye, there could be permanent eye damage. But it's happening in more than one location. And there was a believe that there was even a concern that it could have been a terrorist type deal. But, you know, terrorists trying to distract an aircraft during the final approach. Now, I haven't found it yet, but apparently TechnoReady has a new beta search page that we can use it to search different things on the site. If anybody finds that beta search on TechnoReady, let me know. Now, I know they got a keyword, a URL search on the main page, but maybe they've redone that. I don't know. Let me type a new term in here and see if it responds any faster. And what does it do? Nothing. But it did a lot faster response than what I've normally seen from those guys. So maybe that's it. Maybe it's right on their main page. But I guess that's about all I have for tonight. I know most of you are probably going to get this after the New Year, so I hope you had a safe New Year's, or if you're going to have a New Year's drink tonight, make sure that you have a designated driver. Be safe out there. Have a great time. Have a happy New Year, and we look forward to talking to everybody in 2005. We'll be back with you on a regular show date next week, Tuesday. But I do have an interview, a special interview, coming up on the 4th. So let's see here, what date will the 4th be? I'm pulling up my calendar here. I should know this right off the top of my head, but I don't. 4th is on a Tuesday, so we'll probably have a podcast, a special podcast for you on Wednesday. We're going to be interviewing Stephen King from Marquee, and we're going to be chatting with him about their Blogger for Pay program. And we're also going to be talking about their communication management system. And I've been digging around in that. And if you've all been reading my weekly post on the Marquee CMS, you will know that I've been doing a pretty thorough review. But anyway, we're going to be talking with him on the 4th. And we'll probably 30 to 45 minutes worth of interview. And I'm going to dig into what's going on at Marquee from the CEO. So, look forward to that. But anyway, you've been listening to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you, or has come to you, somewhat live from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. And of course, as always, this is Todd, and you can email me at geek@geeknewscentral.com, or you can Skype me at Geek News Central. You can call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. Congratulations to Christopher for the $20 Christmas present. And we're going to have another contest. I'm thinking about maybe some t-shirts or something like that. So, hey, Chris, over at PodcastAlley.com, if you why don't you drop me a line, man? We're going to have to I get some shirts made so I can offer up some shirts as an enticement to people to call in the voicemail line. And I'll get all those queued up, and we'll get those into the show. Maybe we'll have a show of nothing but voicemail calls. No, promise, I won't do it to you. But we appreciate the feedback. I do need some help, folks, on this audio. This thing's been kicking my butt. If you guys got any suggestions, let me know. And what I'm going to do today at the end of the show is I'm going to leave about a 10-second blurb of regular air that's just dead air, so that you and I won't filter that, so that you guys will have an idea what kind of a noise we have before I do any pre-filtering here, so that you can give me some ideas. But I think that's it. Everyone have a happy New Year. And we look forward to a prosperous 2005. And tech podcasters, get on the mailing list. And we're going to leave you with a little music from GarageBand. Let me get that queued up. I'm going to pause this for a second so I can give you the title that we're going to play tonight, so we can give credit where credit is due. Okay, here is Silver Plated by Geoff Bird, one of the top songs on GarageBand.com. And I think you all like this. If you don't, something's wrong.
listening to the Geek News Central Podcast. You better come back. We'll see you next time.